Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was born in Macedonia, emigrated to Cleveland at age 15, and earned a BA in mathematics from Edinburgh University, where he captained the swimming and soccer teams. During his corporate career, he served as president/CEO at Nortel, Motorola, and five GE businesses. From 2011 to 2021, he was an executive advisor to the Blackstone Group. And since 2012, he's been the founder, chairman, and president of the Zaff Group. His name? Mike Zafirovsky. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to an amazing human being who epitomizes anything that's possible in America, Mike Zafirovsky. Mike, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, it is a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
You grew up in Macedonia. Can we start by telling us about Macedonia, the ancient kingdom?
Yes, Jack. Actually, I grew up in the old Yugoslavia. At that time, Macedonia was one of the seven states. A very proud history. In that part of the world, Alexander the Great was born and obviously started a very significant empire. But I would also add that Mother Teresa was also born in my hometown of Skopje, Macedonia, before she moved down to Ireland and to India. So there's some pretty big shoes and pretty big role models to try to live up to.
We're going to have to call you Saint Michael, okay?
It's the Mother Teresa in many ways even more impressive than Alexander the Great. But yes, thank you.
Yes. All right. For the first 15 years of life, Yugoslavia, raised in a communist environment, what was that like?
I mean, Jack, I need to qualify maybe this with a perspective of reflection, 2020 hindsight. Maybe everything was not as wonderful as I thought it was. But as a kid, I loved growing up in the old Yugoslavia. Marshal Tito was the president of the country. He overthrew the kingdom of Yugoslavia, who had signed a pact to be with the Germans during World War II. That delayed the German invasion of Russia for a couple months. Yugoslavia was the first country to pull out of the Warsaw Pact. So as a kid, we were very much in awe and inspired by Marshal Tito. The school systems were very good. We had very loving parents. So as a kid, we thought that we were in heaven, to be honest with you, and thought that, frankly, at that point in time, my goals in life were to be a politician, which used to be a noble profession, or a soccer player. And as I said, the world turned upside down when my father decided to move to the United States in 1969.
And your family emigrated to America, Cleveland specifically. What was that change like?
I mean, 2020 hindsight, the best event that could ever have happened, really God sighting, God blessing, if you will. But the beginning was rather difficult. I mean, none of us spoke English. My parents were 55 at the time. My mom could not have kids for many years. She was 40 when she had me. She was 42 when she had my sister. It was quite challenging. And I remember coming from school every day. I mean, we came on a Thursday, went to a regular school on Monday. So that was quite a bit of a shock to the system. And I remember running to the mailbox every day. I used to write 20 or 30 letters a week, receiving 20 or 30 letters a week. So it was quite a challenging time at age 15 and 13 for my sister to acclimate here. And the U.S. is far from perfect, but the longer you stay here, that pull of the American dream, the welcoming communities, you know, on the west side of Cleveland. So pretty soon you started appreciating and loving the, ideals of America, the democracy, the free enterprise system. And I think in many ways, again, this is the process of being a proud communist, believing that communism is the best way to form and run a society. You start seeing, although all systems on paper may be perfect, when you put humans into it, and the systems unravel, humans start thinking they're gods, is most of the dictatorships. And pretty soon, I became very much of a zealot for the American way of life.
All right. You acclimated phenomenally well and very fast, because at 15 and a half, you don't speak English. 18, 19, you're at Edinburgh University. And then you captain both the swim team and the soccer teams. That's amazing. How?
I mean, just one real story how it really shaped my life. Like many things, you thought they were random events. I keep thinking with the perspectives of hindsight, somebody watching over you, if you will, giving you opportunities. The kids that were teaching me how to speak English in Cleveland were swimmers. And initially, I thought I'd play soccer, quote-unquote football. I went to the to the sports field and realized football is a very different shape of a of a ball. Was not around. Was a very different kind. So I was there to choose what sport I would play. And you do what most 16-year-olds do. You follow your friends. And there were swimmers. Berea High School, where I went to school, graduated with Jim Trussell, the eventual high school football, football coach for Ohio State. And I picked up swimming. Berea had a fabulous swim team, the top three, four teams in the state of Ohio. The reason I make this story is the junior tried to make a world class, or at least a state class swim team. And you had never swam before except recreationally in rivers and lakes in Macedonia. And I started on the junior varsity team, and the very first match, the very first meet, was swimming against a powerhouse, Akron Firestone. And the coach said, Mike, you're not going to swim for the first couple meets. You get acclimated, and the first meet was packed. And just a couple minutes before my race, I was a breaststroker. The coach came and says, Mike, I've changed my mind. We're winning by quite a few points. I'm going to have you do your first meet on the very first match. Because I'm going to the starting block, I'm thinking, I never actually did a competitive start, how you dive before a race. So as I'm walking through to the starting position, I see Olympic Games. I see how the athletes raise their arms and then stretch, and they gracefully enter into the water. And I'm 6'4", I'm 200 pounds, I look like a swimmer. So I go to the starting block, and I do what I think I should be doing. And as opposed to my hands hitting first, my knees hit first, then my body, then my hands. And I'm 2 feet away from the starting block. And if you know anything about breaststroke, and you take a long glide in the water, you take a long pull, you take a kick, by the time you come out of that water, you almost finish with the first lap. So I finished probably a minute behind in a two-minute race, and I feel like I'm 2 inches tall. So I decide to quit the swim team. I tell Coach Anderson, Coach, this is embarrassing. I'm trying to become a swimmer as a junior at a world-class swimming program, and I'm going to save you embarrassment. I'm going to quit. And Coach Anderson, I mean, he was not more than 5'6", former Marine. This is Mike Zafirowski. I'll let you down. I'm your coach. I did not prepare you properly. I did not give you a heads up. And not only you're not going to quit, but you have all the talent to be a great swimmer. And fast forward, I went to Edinburgh State College. At that point in time, became Edinburgh University on a full swimming scholarship. Took 7th place in Ohio in the 100-year breaststroke. And when I went to Edinburgh, I saw kids kicking a soccer ball. This says, gee, I used to be very good in soccer. I was even dreaming of being a soccer player. I played in the World Cup. So again, totally a coincidence. I played both soccer and swim. And you know, probably the best things ever happened to me, because in many ways, sports is a great proxy for life. And to be able to live the life of an individual sport, swimming. It's you against the clock. but also to practice teamwork and cooperation in soccer. And again, I give all the credit to Coach Anderson and to my coaches at Edinburgh University for the career I've had, obviously outside sports as well.
We're talking to Mike Zafirowski. When we come back, we're going to ask him about his 25-year career at GE. And I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasulin. We're with Mike Zafirowski. From 1975 to 2000, he held various senior leadership roles at GE, including being president of five different divisions. Talk about that quarter of a century, Mike.
I fell in love with the business of business, Jack. I would say I hit the jackpot. I mean, no one came to Edinburgh University to interview, and by some very fortunate coincidences, I ended up on their financial management program, which is one of the key leadership programs in the country, particularly for financial management. So I said I hit a jackpot. I spent my first five or six years in financial management, moved into business development and strategy, and when I least expected it, at age 32, I was asked to run, to be a CEO of a rather small division within General Electric. And then from then on, I was drinking the Kool-Aid of Jack Welch in the GE leadership team and the culture. And every two or three years, we as a family would move from one location to another. And I have to tell you, it's actually a labor of love. And it was a great laboratory for business. And to this day, I would just say those are my master's and PhD and PhD double in terms of a learning the business, but also truly appreciating what businesses can do for communities and for the world as well. So anyway, I said I went from being a real believer in the communist process, if you will, to great zealot for the free enterprise system.
You mentioned Jack Welch. Iconic, epitomizes, he is GE. What made him so special, Mike?
Jack, I fully agree that he was iconic. I mean, arguably, many people would agree that the best CEO of the 20th century. What's his passion for results, passion for people, and really trying to define winning and work relentlessly through others to achieve the best possible outcomes. He would just make the comments of face reality, make sure that you're prepared, that you have all the tools to be able to do that. But he was actually able to inspire as much as anybody. I do not know much about Jack's faith journey, if you will. I was privileged to go to his service, wonderful service right before COVID. I'm not that familiar with his personal life, although I have met his wife and a couple of his kids. But when we came to business, the ability to simplify complexity, the ability to really prepare you for the type of leadership assignments you never thought are possible, to provide the full support to you was frankly remarkable. And I would just say very unique. And you know, I do know many CEOs, but I do put Jack in the top of the list along with Jamie Dimon, currently the CEO of J.P. Morgan.
Yes. If you want to learn more, www.thezafgroup. And we're talking to Mike Zafirowski, Zafirovski. That's like about 86 points in Scrabble, I think, Michael. So, okay.
You're very good, Jack. You're very good.
From 2000 to 2005, you were with Motorola. And for 3 years, you were president, COO, board member, office of the chair of Motorola. Talk about that chapter.
I mean, it seems I spent 25 years at Motorola as well, Jack. And when you say that, people take it as being negative, seem that the 4 years were stretched into 25, but just on the contrary. I mean, I would argue that Motorola was probably the closest to Apple and Microsoft, if you will, of the 20th century, company that really did the innovations, whether that's the walkie-talkies, the communication during World War II, very much innovator in the semiconductor industry, and of course in communications. But they faced some difficulties in the late 1990s with the Asian financial crisis, and also with some of the what people have referred to as the warring tribes, people, the businesses fighting among each other as opposed to addressing their opportunities in market field. So when I was approached, I mean, it took me 18 months to convince myself and my wife to leave General Electric. I mean, I met my wife at General Electric. I used to say, gee, it brings good things to life, and we thought a pretty good role model. But eventually the draw that can I apply what I've learned in General Electric can apply in another great company. Some of the smartest people I've ever met, great innovators, but they were lacking some of the disciplines around prioritization, proper implementation of the great leadership supply program, and frankly, accountability and delivering results. And I said, CEOs would kill to have great customers, great areas of where they competed, the kind of very inspirational people. Those are things that last a lifetime. And the operational capabilities and prioritizing will be rather, I shouldn't say easy, but it's pretty manageable. And in the 4.5 years that's been Motorola, we took the market share of the cell phones, which has gone from 90% down to 8. We were able to bring it to 25%. We went from losing a couple $1 billion a year to having the most profitable year in the history of the company in 2004. Customer satisfaction had increased significantly. The Motorola brand. So really, I felt like 25 years as a result of the lasting friendships and really resurrecting what was a company that was being viewed broadly as a company in decline.
We're talking to Mike Zafirovsky. You haven't lived until you've been around a Macedonian/Yugoslavian comedian like Mike Zafirovsky. Okay, Mike. The amount of data that's out there today, all these streaming services, the cloud, the net, what's it going to be like and what are we going to have available in 2030?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of perspectives, and, you know, I'll try to be serious on this one. What digitization, what social media, the benefits they have produced, when virtually all parts of our life have been frankly immeasurable, the benefits, again, you can... And it is very, very tough to quantify the upsides in the productivity, knowledge, and accessibility to information. I would argue that negatives at least offset, possibly even offset more than the positives in terms of a social isolation. You can even see couples at dinner looking at their cell phones. So I do think technology has been immensely beneficial. And I would think that the negatives, you know, are probably the same level unless we as adults, as communities, as countries, start making some changes. And I would add, same thing on AI. AI is going to bring benefits immeasurable from what we perceive right now to, say, 2030. But I would just switch the conversation just for a second. I mean, I read recently, parents, I mean, what to do parents, all parents, 98% of them would love for their kids to have a great careers. 50%, they would, you know, they really prioritize great families for their kids. It's only 20%, even less, for them to have faith or strong religion in their lives. And I do think, as we think about technology, but many other things, you know, the tools how to live our lives, is that I do think there's an importance of going back to some of the traditional prioritizations. Without strong families, it's very difficult to have a strong community. Without strong communities, it's very difficult to have strong countries. And some sort of a spirituality to be in faith, to be higher in the priorities. So again, I'm trying to answer your question in terms of the benefits. I'm happy to provide some additional perspectives. But as a 70-year-old right now with 3 kids, 3 greats, a daughter-in-law, 9 grandkids, I mean, frankly, that's top of mind of how to a role model and how to provide the right kind of a coaching and inspiration to use the technology wisely, to have some limits on how you use the technology, but really to take the time for the good old-fashioned values, principles, and including very specifically family and faith.
He mentioned that he's 70 years old. In 2018, he competed in the Kona Ironman Triathlon, where you swim 2.4 miles, you bike 112 miles, and then you run a marathon, 26.2. He did it in under 14 hours. This is quite a man. And I'm Jack Krasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasulin. We're with Mike Zafirovsky. And tomorrow, Mike, is Father's Day. And you and Robin raised three grown sons. You've got nine grandchildren. Sometimes Robin would say she's still raising the fourth son that don't listen. What makes a great dad?
You must have spoken to my wife about that fourth kid. But I do believe that loving, respecting, and honoring your spouse, obviously in my case, my wife, it is the basis for a strong family, strong role modeling, and establishing the unit. Just as in Exodus, you know, you shall have no other God before you. And as we live our lives, you know, what you prioritize, if you prioritize God and obviously Jesus's great commandments, I think it's the same in a family. If you honor, respect, and love your spouse, you role model that, your team, and decisions, particularly as they come to the family, there's not a greater gift you can give, obviously, to your spouse, but also to your, in our case, three sons, and hopefully being a good role modeling for the three daughter-in-laws whom we adore, and our nine grandkids, and all of them under nine, so...
That you spoil.
Well, not too much, but of course. I mean, that's in job description number one for a grandparent. Absolutely.
We're talking to Mike Zafirovsky. Tomorrow's Father's Day, and he was president/CEO at Nortel, Motorola, and five different GE businesses. So every Father's Day, the kids, the grandkids, Robin refer to him as Mr. President for the day. So anything is possible.
If you believe that, Jack, I have a couple bridges to sell to you. Yep.
All right. From 2011 to 2021, you were involved with the Blackstone Group as an advisor. We all know this term, Blackstone Group. Tell us about what it does.
I mean, it's a great organization, started as a private equity firm. I mean, it used to be known as leveraged buyers and private equity. They've become actually the largest asset manager in the world. I mean, they manage more than $1 trillion of assets, including pension funds, universities, and so on. Some of the smartest people I've ever met, and actually really good people as well, in terms of the impact they do on businesses, but also great philanthropists as well. Us privileged to be an advisor with them, now also being a lead director or chairing three of their companies. And again, there was a wonderful relationship, added value to Blackstone. I learned quite a bit in a new arena as well. So anyway, there was a wonderful part of my continued growth. But I would just add a comment there. Halfway through that, I went through the Halftime Institute. As you may know, Bob Buford wrote the book Halftime. Going through that process, and the question is, what's a perfect life matrix, Jack? And if you keep doing what you're doing, are you going to get there? Because part of that reflection is a year-long program with 15 cohorts. You meet five times a year, a couple of days. I prepared a new halftime roadmap. I would say for the fourth quarter of my life, and part of that was, as opposed to working for others, and to simply have the measurement of how much the valuation of the company at exit time versus when you took over, very appealing, nothing against private equity. Again, I admire what Blackstone does. But that really was the genesis to do something different. if you think there's keeping some companies in perpetuity or making different decisions than what a private equity firm would do with a view only on exit. So that really is the genesis of starting the ZF Group. Unexpectedly, all three boys are working with me. My wife, Robbie, is the vice chairman. So there's part of the genesis, if you will, going from working for others, General Electric, Motorola, and Nortel, being advisor to Blackstone, to be at a rather advanced age to try to become an entrepreneur and to try our best efforts being a role modeling for a good company doing good.
If you want to learn more, www.thezafgroup.com. We're talking to Mike Zafirovsky. Mike, you talk about your top six principles for leadership organizational success. What are they?
I'll try to make this quickly, but I've used this one page with the six principles since October 1, 1986, Jack. There's the first time at age 32, I was asked to lead a GE business. I was not expecting it, but I had at least a month, maybe it was closer to 2 months to prepare for it. And I prepared those comments in terms of it to introduce myself, to set the expectations, what my priorities, what I expect from them. And I'll go through them rapidly, nothing revolutionary. But when I mentor people to say, forget what Mike's top six are, what are your top six, how you make decisions, and can people trust you on those? So really quickly, number one is to really delight customers, not simply to take them to a professional sporting event or buy them lunch, but to really know their business, made a commitment. Half my time will be spent with customers. Second, most important, I made a commitment. I'll do everything possible to try to fulfill the career objectives of every single employee and to have the most energizing, positive work environment. We should do quarterly surveys and making sure that we really were listening what employees were saying. Number three, superior financial results. I'm not embarrassed to say, I'm not going to have my job. Mr. Welch is not going to keep me. But rest assured, I'll never do anything to compromise item one and two to deliver three. In many ways, strong financial results is a litmus test to have a successful business. Number four, giving back. Maybe so the communist mentality, giving back in 1986, will be very generous to our local communities. I'm going to support your activities to the support of what it's United Way, what it's a cancer society. And I believe there's the right thing to do, but also it's going to help us attract the right kind of people. Number five, competing and winning. I was not shy to say we spend way too much time in the office not to be want to be the best. You don't do not have to be the biggest. We do not have to be the most global, if you will. And you can expect lots from me. There's lots of expectations from me towards you. And frankly, if the pace becomes too fast, we're going to help you get a job elsewhere. But we're not going to compromise. Again, we want to be a place you can be proud of. But also customers to be very, very, very satisfied with us. And last one, whatever the leadership values are, in that time we had the four E's from Jack Welch. I'm not going to repeat those. But I said, I want to be a role model for those values, but also going to reward, compensate people based on results and having those values. And Jack, just a closing statement, it is unbelievable. When you make those kinds of commitments to people, when you're alone as a CEO, and some of you experience this, you have to make hard decisions. You're going to say, there's no way in the world I'm going to do anything that any employee would say was contrary to those six items. So that level of a trust, and sometimes you do something maybe harmful in the short term, paid back in huge dividends in the long term. So those are those six items that became as the Mike Z's top six principles. Again, nothing revolutionary. But if you use it as a guideline, those are very nice guidelines to live and to lead by.
We're talking to Mike Zafirovsky. If you want to learn more, www.thezafgroup.com. He went from communist roots to corporate leadership. And I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist, who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Mike Zavarovsky. Since 2012, he's been the founder, chairman, and president of the Zaf Group. All about giving back with him, Robin, three sons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you're involved with so many things, initiatives, causes. Tell us about Macedonia 2025, Mike.
I have spent enormous amount of my time to help my native country to become a more economically advanced, more prosperous country. Again, I'll digress just for a second. I know we're going toward the end, but back in 2002, as I was just promoted to be president of Motorola, I'm running between meetings. My secretary is chasing me. He says, Mike, you have an important phone call. I said, well, take a message. I'll call him or her back. She goes, no, it's very important. I says, well, take a message. I'll call him back. And she was very nice lady, very quiet. And you can see she was getting all concerned. So, well, who is it? She goes, it's the president of Macedonia. I started laughing. I thought she was joking. She said, no, he's the president of Macedonia. So I pick up the phone to say, Mike, this is President Boris Trifonsky. We're not asking for anything. We're proud of you. Not many Macedonian-born people are presidents of a Fortune 50 company. We'd love for you to come. We have a new one vision for accelerated growth. We're making really good progress, but we still have a long way to go. But that's been a labor of love. We have a great board, and we think we'll make a real impact toward a free enterprise system, rule of law, democracy, fighting corruption, many things that developing countries definitely need. In a strong Macedonia, it's good for the region and good for the United States as well. But thank you for asking that question.
All right. For a number of years, you were chairman of AUSL, which develops teachers to excel in the urban environment. Tell us about that initiative.
It was just another labor of love, you can say. I have, you know, I like to take the big challenges. It is absolutely a tragedy, the status of the public schools in Chicago. So AUSL's mission is to develop great teachers to excel in the urban environment. Also, when Arne Duncan was the president of Chicago Public Schools, they gave us a challenge to take over some of the worst performing public schools, the state public schools. And we did a fabulous job, 17,000 students. Arne Duncan, when he came at one of the commencement talks for the new graduating teachers from AUSL, he said, is that if you want to destroy Osama bin Laden, you send the Navy SEALs Team 6. If you want to turn around the failing public school, you turn in AUSL. So I spent 14 years at that, Jack. I was vice chairman of chairman for 12 of those years. And again, this is a real, real, blessing to be involved and to be able to make a small impact in a very big issue facing Chicago and, frankly, many of the urban environments in this country.
All right. You're the co-founder of Faith at Work Ministry at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Lake Forest, Illinois. Tell us about Faith at Work Ministry.
Well, this morning I was interviewing Bob Newman, speaker number 127. I aspire to be as good of an interviewer as you are, Jack, but that session went really well. Starting in 2009, when people were losing, after the Great Recession, people were losing faith institutions, including religious institutions. So they asked a couple of us, my friend Bob Morley and I, to start this program. I mean, it's developed in unbelievable ways. I'm happy to send a link to the website. But we ask people three things. Tell us about your life. Tell us about your faith journey. And how do you bring faith to work? And we've had I've got 25 CEOs, we have homemakers, social workers, a just released prisoner, teachers, principals, chief medical officers. And Jack, it's unbelievable just to see this testimonials, how God does work through so many different occupations, so many different people, and I always get inspired. And the only people that are more inspired are the people that prepare for those sessions. Sometimes it takes 2-3 years for a person to say they're comfortable to discuss this publicly. And again, this is a real blessing. And part of my faith journey, when I least expected it, to someone to ask me, I asked them, do you really have the right person to be doing this? And again, there's been an absolute blessing in my life and hopefully in the life of the 127 speakers so far.
You're also on the board of Coach K's Leadership and Ethics Center Advisory Board. Tell us about Coach K.
Unbelievable leader. Our youngest son was in the basketball team for 5 years. Mm. He probably played 45 minutes in the 5 years. Coach K asked him to stay for an extra year when he got his master's. But the level of attention to detail, to every single individual, but also the big picture, his patriotism. I mean, the list goes on and on. And you know, he calls my wife on her birthdays. She did have a health situation. He called and followed up on her. So those little things, but also the big things, the way he was coaching the U.S. national team, the way he was able to get the best out of Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Bryant, if you will, and never forgetting his humble roots out of Chicago, his firefighting brother who passed away recently, his mom, and they have the center. So the whole package in terms of a coaches, few of them at the top of the list and all kinds, and Coach K certainly is the top of the list.
We've been talking to Mike Zeferovsky, communist roots to corporate leadership to giving back, a phenomenal human being. Thank you for sharing your journey.
Thank you, Jack. That's a real privilege and a real pleasure. God bless.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken. Believe in yourself.